amazing. Stevie Wonder, so beautiful. Love that song. All right. So you have a collection here at SFU, amazingly. tell me about the punk scene here. When did you start shooting that?
Yes, as I was saying, I moved here June 1st of 79. And about 6 weeks later, a couple of women I got to know, they said, we're going down to this club downtown. Mm-hmm. You want to come with us? I said, yeah, sure. Knowing nothing about... So we go to the Smiling Buddha.
Yeah.
And on the bill was the Dead Kennedys. Nice. I knew nothing about the Dead Kennedys. I had sort of gotten interested in punk because I think I bought the Nevermind the Bollocks album when I still lived in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of... knocked me off my feet. I made me laugh. It was hilarious in some ways, but it was just it was revolutionary. Anyway, so the DKs, the Modernettes, I think Private School, and I'm not sure who else. I actually had the poster, and for some reason, I just wasn't into it at that moment, but I didn't shoot any of people inside the club, but I did get, it was actually the first shot in the exhibit I had in 89. That one shot was Paul McKenzie of the Real McKenzies.
Yes.
The late Brian Goble, a.k.a. Wimpy Roy, of Subhumans, DOA, etc. Was Simon Snotface. He was kind of a well-known character around the scene, and this guy Gary Genius, and I knew who knew nothing, but they were just kind of hamming it up out in front of it. They still had the in cursive script on this sort of black obsidian like material that said Smiling Buddha. And you'll notice I'm wearing my Buddha shirt.
That's
here.
Right, he is, folks. Yeah.
And I had meant to get a shot of the sign in situ, but with a lot of these neon signs, sometimes a tube would be kind of flashing out or not really. So I was waiting for them to get it charged up fully. And I came around the corner with a friend in about 1990, and my heart nearly stopped because the sign was gone. But as you may know, 5440 obtained the sign. They got it restored. They actually had an anvil case built for it, custom built, and they carted it around on tour. And then, much to their credit, they donated it to the Museum of Vancouver, where it is now. That's a whole other story, which I won't get into there. But getting back to that, so I could see something was cooking. And started going to some gigs, like at the Oddfellows Hall, that was just off of Commercial on Gravely, I think. And another place that was cool was the Arcadian Hall at 6th and Main, torn down long ago. And speaking of Dennis Mills, which we were talking about earlier, of the Judies.
Yes.
That was where I first shot photos of Dennis, was with his band AKA in 1980. And who else? I think the Subhumans were on that bill. The Subhumans and DOA were undoubtedly the most exciting acts that I've, not only this city, but just as far as you could feel this electric energy in the air when those guys were, you know, performing, and it was about to happen kind of thing. It's just the crowd was so pumped. And I would say that there was virtually no separation between the crowd and the bands, almost, because, you know, my tactic was, I would get right at the very edge of the stage and on the edge of the mosh pit, and there would be like a volley of spit and beer bottles flying overhead, which I managed to duck, although I did catch a beer bottle in the head once.
Oh, gosh.
Luckily, it wasn't full.
Oh.
But so anyway, between 79 and about 83 is when I shot the majority of the stuff from the punk scene, and ended up printing 42 of those at 60 by 20 and had the show at the Pit, which was at that time at Maple Tree Square, Powell and Carroll. And So that was my second solo show.
Yeah, we're going to play some DOA right now.
Cool.
Yeah. And we'll be back with more Gord McCaw.
But she's wrong. This time rats won't kick me out. This time rats is our remote. Just screaming mess. I saw this just a dream. Your robots are screaming. In my future dream. That's hey. It's not fate or chance. It's the money in the bank. Burn the timber, gather bricks. Time and find a money for it. And I am the prisoner. It's a fate or chance. Kick somebody in the face. Burn the timber, gather bricks. Drop and fire the bloody dicks. Just do it, miss. That's how it is, your city dream. Get robots, ice cream. In my future dream. And I am the prisoner.
All right, and we are back. Oh, gosh. we're going to talk about the event.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sure enough.
Yes. So tell us, where is it happening? And,
Well, it's the Old Hastings Mill Museum, which is at the end of Alma Road end of Point Grey Road at Alma. So basically kind of on the edge of Jericho. That's an interesting building. It's the old Hastings Mill that they moved in the 1930s. It's the oldest building in Vancouver and kind of a museum. We're going to be talking about vintage and kind of a PowerPoint slide thing of a selection of the neons that I have and whatever history I've been able to find out about them.
And I noticed it was tea as well, right?
Oh, yes.
Tea and little treats.
Yeah. And Anita, who is one of the people from there, she bakes a fantastic array of pastries and all that. That's worth the $25 right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happening on February 22nd, Sunday, 2 p.m. Runs a couple of hours. And we'll be talking about, just the various neons in the city. Like, people may remember ones like the Aristocratic that was at Granville and Broadway, where the Indigo is now. That was one of the first signs that I shot in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, along the Granville and the Broadway side, there were 30-foot bands of multiple bands of white neon, and in the center of that, in cursive script, it spelled out in blue neon, Aristocratic.
Mm.
Well, a month after I shot my photos, someone in their high wisdom decided that had to go.
Oh.
So they left just the center sign that had, you know, Aristi and all over town, because there used to be as many as a dozen Aristocratic restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
All over the city. Like, for example, the Helen's Grill.
Yes.
At
Love Helen's Grill on Main Street.
Yes, Main and King Ed. That was at one time was an Aristocratic. There used to be another Aristocratic at Smythe and Granville. You can see it in the one photograph of the famous photograph of Fred Herzog.
Mm.
Anyway, so there's others like, for example, the what was it called? The pool hall at Seymour and Nelson. And it had a really cool sign. It kind of rotated, and they had on the wall on the Nelson side, there was like a pool cue with all these balls that would kind of light up in mm-hmm. sequence. And it's pretty amazing. Vancouver rivaled rival city like Shanghai in China, because as many as 22,000 neon signs in the heyday in the 50s and 60s. And there was this sort of a movement that that decided that, well, this is gaudy and it's tacky and we don't need it. We've got the beauty of the mountains and the sea. And so in the mid-70s, this, what was his name? Warnett Kennedy, a counselor, city counselor, he decided that, well, we have to do away with this completely. So there's certain signs were outlawed. Like, remember the Niagara sign? Niagara Hotel.
Oh, okay.
It was on 400 block West Pender. Mm-hmm. It was something like three stories high, and it was like a simulation of this waterfall.
Oh, really?
And it had Niagara in red letters in the center.
Oh, okay.
And because it had flashing light, that would it actually survived. That was one. That was amazing because it was one of the signs that survived this. But a lot of signs, they just kind of did away with them, and it's really a shame.
It is a shame, but I'm so glad that you took photos of them.
I only wish I'd started sooner mm-hmm. because there were some like the Dragon Inn on Kingsway. There was one, the big one was out at Kingsway and Willingdon.
Okay.
And there was another one, I want to say maybe Kingsway and Earls.
Okay.
Into town. It was a little smaller, but it was equally as cool.
Interesting.
And one that I remember, I said, yeah, I must get photos of that sometime. At Loban's Flowers near Fraser in Kingsway. And it was just a beauty. It had all these different flowers, and there was a center part that kind of rotated. Mm. It said Loban's on one side, and then it had all these beautiful bouquets of neon and on the other side. It's just, And then, you know, when it rains, you get that beautiful shimmering light, a multicolored light. So Vancouver was just like a perfect city to have that kind of neon thing going on.
Yes. All right, we're going to get to some more music, and then we're going to be back with more Gord McCall. Here's Cold Tea. Oh, and you know what? It's not playing. So we're going to try Let's Play Dogs in the Yard by Sinead X. Sanders. And that one's played.
So tie the head too long. Said I don't have much when it's a put in place. The world's gonna move on without you anyway. A head down in the yard, there was lean it soft. And though your man stopped the window, there was nothing but waking reality. It's a fire falls, only want to know. Just open your eyes, everything you take it. Everything you take it. Down when you're up, your guard is up and you're down. It's so easy to let yourself get spun around. How you enjoy everything, no other creature can. And it'll feel any pain, not by your happy end. Not by your happy end. Not by your happy head. Dogs in the yard, there was ain't it stopping. Though your man slept the window, there'll not go again. The know. Just open your eyes, everything you take it. Everything you take it. And the things that go bump in the night, they all really just part of the battle. And the things that go bump in the night, they all really just part of the battle. It's just
And cold down Nicollet Avenue, a city of flame fought fire and ice neath an occupier's boots. King Trump's private army from the DHS, guns belted to their coats, came to Minneapolis to enforce the law, or so they're story goes. Against smoke and rubber bullets, in the dawn's early light, citizens stood for justice, their voices ringing through the night. And there were bloody footprints where mercy should have stood, dead left to die on snow-filled streets, Alex Pretty and Renee Good. Or Minneapolis, I hear your voice singing through the bloody mist. We'll take our stand for this land and the stranger in our midst. Here in our home they killed and in the winter of 26, we'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Trump's federal thugs beat up on his face and his chest. Then we heard the gunshots and Alex Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your voice crying through the bloody mist. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Now they say they're here to uphold the law, but they trample on our rights. If your skin is black or brown, my friend, you can be questioned or deported on sight. In our chance of ice out now, our city's heart and soul persists. Through broken glass and bloody tears on the streets of Minneapolis. Stand for this land and the stranger in our
die on the streets of Minneapolis.
All right, and we are back. That was Bruce Springsteen's Street of Minneapolis, one of your faves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to talk about last year you did an event, City's Most Memorable Eateries with Aaron Chapman. That was in yes. September. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, that's another kind of a pet thing of mine, an obsession, some might call it, photographing particularly vintage diners.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly... my main focus, you might say, is on places that have like the button stools.
Oh, yes.
And one of the coolest of those, and a place I loved going to, was the Hong Kong Cafe at 150 East Pender in Chinatown. Like the Ovaltine, it was virtually unchanged. As you know, the Ovaltine has been there since 1942. Mm. But the I think the Hong Kong actually... It was in a different location, opened in the late 30s, and then in the 40s they moved to Pender Street and were there till August of 1993. I used to go in quite often because I had a studio down the street at 172 Alexander,
mm-hmm.
and so I was always in search of cheap eats, and would usually go in for like a coffee in the afternoons to the Oval. I did go to the Ovaltine now and again, but the Hong Kong was a favorite. And they had a beautiful neon in the window. It was like a Chinese junk on the water, and it said Hong Kong Cafe.
Mm.
I think something like steaks, this and that, and I forget what else. I often wonder what happened to that sign because, you know, it could make a beautiful wall hanging. But the thing about it is it had 29 stools at the counter. And I went talking to Vernon Lum, the owner. he told me it was because of the, you know, the sorry episode of the head tax this era, you know, beginning, I believe that began in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many of these old Chinese bachelors, and, you know, that's why they had such a long counter with so many stools. But I went in there on their last day. I think it was August 22nd. My partner's birthday, in fact,
mm-hmm.
Of 1993, and was shooting some photos, and it was getting close to closing time, 5 p.m., and I asked Mr. Lum, could I have a little more time? I just want to shoot a few more things. He says, listen, you've had 50 years. Buddy, you're out of luck. So the cool thing was that about maybe 5-6 years ago, my friend Catherine Clement, she was the curator of that show, the inaugural show at the Chinatown Museum in mm-hmm. the old Wing Sang building, which is one of the oldest buildings in the city, 1889.
Mm-hmm.
She did that show about it was called the paper trail, I think,
mm-hmm.
and the extensive research and all that. She used one of my photos from the Hong Kong in the exhibit, but prior to that, we went to visit Mr. Lum. She was with the Chinatown Storytelling Center. They were going to do some kind of an exhibit, and she wanted to borrow this apple corer peeler that they used because they made these sort of a little apple puff pastry. They were just to die for, to use that hoary expression. But my gosh. If you didn't get one by about 2 p.m., you weren't getting one because mm-hmm. the women in the surrounding offices would come in and buy them by the boxful, and they just melted in your mouth. And in fact, a friend of Anita's has kind of worked to try to replicate these things,
oh,
and she's
yes.
come pretty close.
Oh, yes.
she had some at the diner thing that I did
yes.
in September. And so... But that place was just amazing. But Mr. Lum, he couldn't understand why anybody, well, we were just running a restaurant. He couldn't see what's the big deal. But listen, it was a big deal.
That's right. It's history, baby.
It was cool.
Yes.
It was great to meet him.
Well, where can people go see the Vancouver Neon Sign Show?
Well, this is it. It's 1575 Alma, which is, again, at the right near the waterfront. If you at the end of Point Grey Road, and it intersects with Alma. This is a little building and a big field, but the fee is $25. Start time is 2 p.m. again on February 22nd, to Sunday, and hopefully it won't be too boring.
No, I think it's going to be super entertaining. I think people love the signs. And yes, and they love you, Gordon. I really appreciate you taking all these photos, because I follow you on Facebook. This is the first time we actually met, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yes, but I've been following you for years. And yes, and I love all the photos that you've taken around town and also around the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. I finally got that Dennis Mills song. We're going to play Cold Tea. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to the Wham Bam East Van Show. Thank you so much, Gord, for coming. Wham Bam.
East Van.
Yeah, baby. Right. And we'll try and catch you another time.
Put a nice head on it.
One, two, three.
Well, the joint was jumping and the band was pumping and the group was getting hot. And while the gig was fun, the night's not done. Do you head to your hot spot? Down in Chinatown, we finally found a cafe called The Berry, where the rice is nice and the shrimps are twice as big as you ever to see. A group knocked on the door to check the score, see the clock was pushing three. Said, let us in, let the groove begin. To order up cold tea, cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea.
We ordered up cold tea, and we drank it down to the light of dawn. And we ordered up cold tea, cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea.
We ordered up cold tea, and we drank it down to the light of dawn. And we ordered up cold tea, I drink it up now. As big as you ever did see. A group knocked on the door to check the score. See, the clock was pushing three. Said, let us in, let the groove begin. To order up cold tea, cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea,
cold tea.
We ordered up cold tea, and we drank it down to the line of dawn. And we ordered up cold tea, JD,
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 JD.
We ordered up JD, and we drank it down to the line of dawn. And we ordered up,
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 we ordered up.
Yeah, Cold Tea by the Jasmanian Devils. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This is DJ Meddy signing out.